I'd like to call us back to order. We are in motions and notices, and Congresswoman, we have a motion on the floor to enter committee of the whole to receive a report of the ranch tour and utilization status from the members of Congress who went on the ranch tour. Seconded, okay, all those in favor to enter committee of the whole, say yes?
Yes.
And opposed, say no?
No.
Are you the only no? Okay, so I just want to make sure so we don't have to do roll. All right, please note that Congresswoman Buffalohead is a no. All right, motion passes. We are now in committee of the whole. Congresswoman Edwards?
So if we could just get an update from those members that went on the ranch tour and focus on, since November 1st, what's changed, what you've heard that's changed, and then current utilization, and I'd welcome input from the assistant principal chief. You know, we hear that there's hunting leases being entered into, and we just need to dispel some of these rumors with facts. So.
Thank you. Anyone? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'll just tell a little bit about the tour. It was well attended. Congressman Supernall and Congressman Tillman, myself. Is there another congressman? Is that it? Three congress members. Kelly Corbin with the Office of Fiscal Performance Review, the Osage News. Photojournalists were with us. And who else came? One more person. And Bruce Cass with the Tribal Development Office was also there. We took a 15-passenger van, and it was a good tour. We stopped at several locations. We were pointed out several locations that were and were not our lands, our land holdings within the tour. There is cattle on the ranch. I'm understanding that they belong to Mark Freeman, and my understanding currently is there's no lease agreement for those cattle to be there presently, that they're just there. I'm understanding that the executive office's attorney is working on a liability waiver to have those stock there on that ranch, and it's not complete yet, so they're waiting for that to happen before they decide what they're going to do for any fee or charges. One of my questions were, is how are you charging to, I asked how many cattle there were there, and I believe Mr. Freeman, they said, had 400 to 500 head of cattle on us right now. I asked them what the method of payment was, whether they were leasing to him per acre or per head. They haven't decided how they're going to do that yet. Let me see. There were hunters. We saw hunters out there on us in their little gators driving up and down our lease roads. I don't know how that we've conveyed the hunting to them. I don't know if that question was asked. Maybe somebody can remember if that question was asked or not. But I don't know. I know that what I do know is they have to have a little hang tag on their car to be permitted to be there. I think there's 11 to 12 hunters out there on the ranch. Don't know who they've made that agreement with to be on our ranch, or who issued the hang tag to them. I'm not sure. It's my understanding that they're hunting. I won't say that because it's just an understanding I have.
What's a hang tag?
Oh, just like a handicap sticker that you would hang from your rearview mirror. That if you don't have the hang tag and you were found out there with a gun, that the Osage Nation PD has been patrolling that area. And if you aren't, and I guess the game warden, so if you're not, if you don't have the permitted hang tag in your window and you're caught out there with a gun, you're in trouble, I would suppose.
But you don't know who has the hang tag or where you get the hang tag? Where did
the hunters that are leasing the property have the hang tag whoever they are and whoever they made the agreement, I would suppose it would be with the executive office that they made that agreement to be hunting out there on our tribal property.
Can we ask the assistant principal chief to expand on that if he knows?
Could you ask a specific question, please?
Where do you get a hang tag to hunt on the Blue Stem Ranch?
I don't know.
Who has a hang tag to hunt on the Blue Stem Ranch?
Those who leased the property to hunt, but I believe lease is probably a misapplication in terms of language.
Where did they get permission to lease, or how do they lease the ranch to hunt?
Through a negotiated agreement with the executive branch.
Meaning, if Mr., like the TDLA department, or the principal chief, or you, or who? Who's authorized to negotiate leases to hunt?
I think it's important to say that I was present during part of the negotiations, not present at the conclusion of the negotiations, nor have I ever seen the documentation that would address your questions. So I'm pretty limited on giving you complete answers.
Continue.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because you know the Congress passed a law that was vetoed that said we're not going to lease until we have a land use and we understand how a fair and equitable way to lease that land for hunting is going to be established so that we all know. So if this is going on, I mean, I think Congress would like to know about it. So can you?
I would refer you to the principal chief.
Okay. Is there anything, can you get us copies of these leases? I assume they're written leases.
I can request them on the Congress's behalf.
Okay. Do you know who the people are?
But I wouldn't call them leases. They're some other different kind of animal.
Like a lease instead of a sale. Okay.
I will say a couple of things that I understand about the purpose. Although I don't know the details, I was there when this part of it occurred, is that that's a 43,000 acre ranch. And there are enough pumpers to cover a couple of thousand wells on that ranch every day, including during deer season. In terms of purpose, I can tell you that they're part of the purpose in this negotiation was having someone who was paying for that privilege out there, and that one of the lessees is an active U.S. Fish and Game agent who has very good relations with state game officials. So that part of the purpose is to make sure that the people who are supposed to be out there are out there hunting, and people who aren't supposed to be out there hunting are not out there hunting, including all of the pumpers on those thousands of wells.
So does the ONPD then have a list of people that are okay to be hunting out there?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Because this is really confusing to me, because I know that we have made every effort to try to make this transition deliberate. And to say that now there's not a lease, there are people out there that if they have this tag, they can hang it out there.
I don't know that it is a lease or it isn't a lease. I just won't try to tell you what the agreement is because I've never seen it.
Do you know who made the tags up, the hang tags? Or where you get them?
No. But I have a pretty good idea. It's speculation.
Are any of the attorneys that work for the executive branch some of the people that got those hang tags?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not aware of it, they are.
Okay, so I understand that we're probably going to have some additional questions, and it's, I don't know that the members of Congress who attended this tour had the answers of those, and it sounds like Assistant Chief doesn't have a whole lot of information right now, so if we could kind of keep some of the questions limited, because that's what I was going to say, Joe, that I would like to actually hear more of your report from the people who did attend. But before that, you have something else?
I think that's about everything I know about it.
Okay, so that's kind of, that's what I was thinking of where we are, and so I would say that as we hear more of the report from those who did attend, if we have questions at that point, then we can probably get a list going or something like that for the other members of Congress who may have questions once we hear from the members who did attend. And I really wish that I would have been able to attend, but I was, nobody wanted to be around me because I wasn't feeling well, so I hate that I missed it, but I'm glad that you all got to go, and I hope to make it out after that. So, Congressman Tillman, would you like to give a report?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I thought it was a good trip for me because I'm not a rancher. I don't know anything about cattle. I don't know much about grass. The only thing I do know about, and I've been out on that ranch when it was owned by the cable guy, Mr. Turner, is I fished it quite a bit. I fished it a lot. And it was very beneficial to have Jim Perrier from the Blue Stem Ranch Board and Francis Murphy from the Blue Stem Ranch Board, because they were, to me, like professors. They were people that you could ask questions, they had answers. You ask tough questions, hard questions about grass, or you ask about the water, or you ask about the cattle or the fences or the roads or this or that. And they were very helpful to me riding around the day that we visited the ranch. Mr. Perrier did tell me that those leases were to, or the cattle, there was 500 head approximately that Mark Freeman, those were his cattle that were on the Blue Stem Ranch currently. And that, but he also, there was another gentleman, and I believe Mr. Perrier himself had cattle somewhere out there on that ranch as well. Somewhere. And we looked at the fencing, and we talked about the fencing, and for the most part, it looked really good. There would have to be some additional improvements, I believe, with the buffalo, if that was a route that they were going to go. Riding around, and I took some random notes here, we visited the workstation, I guess you call it, where they take the buffalo and process them or work them, and they had a huge machine out there that swung gates down the line, and very nice. So I think if they were equipped for buffalo and ready to work buffalo, that these the equipment that they had would be ready to run. I mean, we turned it on and we were moving levers and it was moving up and down. It's pretty impressive, and I would hate to guess what that cost to put that in there, but very impressive. driving around, we did see hunters going up and down the road on four-wheelers. There's so many, you're on the main road, but there's so many roads that go this way, that, there's no telling. You couldn't begin to tell who's down what road and where, because it's so big, it's so huge. But we ran across probably three sets of hunters. I mean, that's what they were in, their camouflage. We couldn't see any hang tags, and that's when some of the questions were to Mr. Cass, Bruce, of how did that process work? And he had said that they were working on the process currently, but there were some existing leases, hunting leases, that were associated with the Turners, even though we had purchased it. I it seemed to me, as I understood it, that almost you had to honor kind of what they were already promised. Don't know. But he had mentioned maybe a number of 15 permits that were issued. I believe he said a number of 15. That's what I remember. The ones that we saw that were out there hunting, of course, they were far away. We had no way of zooming in to see if they had those tags on the vehicles that they were hunting in. There were also people still living in homes out there. People that were living in houses, don't want to say any names. They did mention some names, and I believe there were a couple of homes that were occupied by people that were there to monitor what was going on at the ranch. And these homes were, some of them were very, very nice. There's some very nice homes out there. Even the one John Hurd lived in, that's a home with barns and fencing and pens for cattle and whatnot. So one thing that really stood out to me, visiting with Mr. Perrier and Francis Murphy, they had said that they had been given 9,000 acres. That was the plan, to give them 9,000 acres only, that the Blue Stem Ranch was going to operate off of. And the other was going to go somewhere else they didn't know. They were fighting for all of it, like we wanted them to do, like we agreed for them to do. But they were told they're only going to be given 9,000 acres. And they had some plans with that. And riding around with Mr. Murphy and Mr. Perrier, you also could see that grass, they call that, I'm mistaken, I called it cheap shower. It's Circusa or Cerisa, whatever it is. And as you parallel some of the roads, there was a family over here that owned 800 acres, and their grass was golden brown, looked like just beautiful, pristine. And over here on ours, it was eat up with the Cerisa. And apparently, Mr. Perrier told me that for whatever reasons, Mr. Turner didn't believe in spraying because of chemicals or whatever that may be. But his recommendation would be to burn it and then spray it. And there's ways you go about that and different times that you do that. And he said it would take a while, and it's going to take a lot of money, but it can look like this. These people burned on a regular basis, sprayed on a regular basis, and their grass across the fence from ours, I mean, you can tell the difference. It was beautiful golden brown, and ours was ate up with weeds, a lot of weeds. So I know there's a lot of work to do there. There were also 5 to 8 wild buffalo, I guess, that are still running around the property that they can't get. And I guess they had said that they're going to have to put them down one way or another. And I hear there was maybe some people that wanted to apply for a permit to go out there and shoot these wild ones that they couldn't get. So don't know how that works. But it was interesting to me. There was a saltwater spill out there and evidence of other saltwater spills that happen out there. There were pumping trucks in and out. I never did once, we were out there all day. We were out there all day except for lunch. We never did cross paths with any ONPD, any enforcement from, there was no presence from the Osage Nation out there other than the van that we were in. That was it, and that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's a big place. They could have been somewhere else, but we didn't pass anyone most of the day. But they did recommend that we burn and spray that because it is getting out of hand. Some of the Cerisa was 4 to 5 feet tall. Some of it was this tall. So various lengths of that grass that were out there. And riding around with Mr. Murphy, you know, and I asked Francis, and I said, Francis, if you had this whole ranch, if you had the whole thing, I said, what would you do with it? I mean, how many cattle could we put on here? How much money could we make? So he got on his calculator. It took him about 15 minutes, and he came back and he said, we could probably get 3,500 cattle. I don't know if that means cows and calves, heifers. I'm not real versed in that. But he said about 3,500. He goes, and after all expenses, depending on the market, it's just an average, he said, soft market right now. That's what we based off of. We could probably net $750,000 every year on this ranch. And so I thought, well, you know, that's something. You know, that's something that we could do. And that was just my question to him. Now, if there's more purposes for it, if there's other revenue streams that are going to come off of it, that's, I guess, up for discussion. But he said, all we're hearing right now is we're going to get 9,000, about 9,000 acres. So that's kind of my report.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. Mm-hmm.
Do you have your hand up? Okay, Congressman Edwards.
Well, based on that, I just wanted to ask the Assistant Principal Chief. So the plan of operation of the Blue Stem Ranch has not been implemented, which was to manage 43,000 acres, to perform range management, and to lease, as I recall from reading the plan that was passed and is in effect. That has not been implemented through your office.
I think that's because there's no business arrangement between the Osage Nation and the Blue Stem Board. I'm not sure how the Blue Stem Board would execute a plan of operation without a lease from the Osage Nation. If you can help me with that, I'm happy to listen. But
everything I remember, including the memo from you, was that was what was going to happen. So I suppose if someone refuses to do that, then yes, it can happen. But apparently, if I hear correctly, people can run cattle without a lease. So, and somebody's making a promise to give, I think was the word you used, but I'm sure that's not it, 9,000 acres for the ranch board to oversee. So why aren't they overseeing the entire ranch, which was the plan? I'm quite sure was the plan since January of 2016.
I defer that question to the Principal Chief. Okay.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head?
Well, I appreciate Congressman Tillman's report. I think that for me so far, that was the most helpful information that anyone has said, because when we first started discussion, it kind of sounded like, well, people were just running around out there and no one knew how they got there and no one knew where the tax came from. But what I heard you say is that there were some pre-existing leases or hunting rights that Turner had, that they are fulfilling that obligation, apparently this hunting season. So that's the first critical piece of information that I got from your report. And the second is that when we started the first part of this discussion, it sounded like what I heard was, well, we have one person that's got a bunch of head of cattle out there, but we don't know where or why or if there's a lease or if there's not. But you mentioned that Mr. Perrier also has cattle out there, and I do know that both of those gentlemen had leases under the Turner Ranch for keeping cattle out there. So it sounds like they just haven't those leases just haven't gone away completely since we've acquired the ranch. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to, or that there's not going to be some sort of procedure. It just, for me, it means they just haven't done it yet. And how long ago did we officially acquire the land?
November 1st.
Okay, so it's just, for me, that was information that helped me to connect all the dots. Thank you.
Congressman Supernal?
I can't speak about these leases because we don't have that information, but the Commerce Committee is going to request further information on that. But Jim Perrier's lease, I understand, expired October the 1st. And he has his cattle out there. He has to do something with them, either leave them there or move them somewhere. And Mark Freeman My understanding is that his leases ran out back in August. And also, the guys that know something about cattle said, judging by their ear tags, they didn't belong to Mark. So I don't know if this is a situation where someone is using our land and leasing to someone else, or we need to look into that. Those are things that we just don't have enough information on. But as far as the tour of the ranch, I kind of felt like Lewis and Clark's expedition to the Northwest Territories. I'd never been out there on most of it, but there was one position on the southern part of the ranch where you could look back towards the north, and I estimated you could see 6 miles as the farthest away. And you got a panoramic view of this ranch. And everything they said that you could see from that vantage point was part of the ranch. And that gave you a sense of how massive it is, what a big operation it is. And it's all kinds of terrain. It's grasslands, it's streams, hills, valleys, brush, woods, everything. But the one thing that is, I think, that what the Congress needs to be aware of is this invasive grass, Cereza lespidiza, I think what they call it. It is a grass that, left unchecked, can overwhelm the prairie. It could actually destroy it. It's gone. Contrary to what we thought, it has been pretty much neglected for years. My understanding from the comments there that Ted Turner had only been to the ranch one time in all the time he owned it. This Cereza, as Joe said, you go to our neighbors and you look on one side of the road, beautiful grass, blue stem, on our side of the road, it's getting taken over with brush and Cereza lespidiza, which will kill everything. And it's very difficult to control based on what we heard from these people that knew what they're talking about. You can't do it. You can't control it by just burns. You have to burn it and then spray it at a certain time of the year. And it has to be a combination of those. It costs $20 an acre to spray, and there's 800 it would cost about $800,000 just to spray the whole ranch. The problem is, and maybe you want to, I don't know, Al, you might want to know this. We were talking about the Cereza lespidiza growing up to a road where our neighbors have this beautiful grass and we have this invasive grass taken over. My understanding is that if you don't contain and control this invasive grass on your property and it spreads over to your neighbor, that neighbor can complain to the state. They will come out and spray it and charge you for it. If you don't pay it, they put a lien on your land. And it's a lot worse than you, we asked the Illustrated News to go to take pictures. We didn't actually go ask them to take the pictures for this purpose, but I'm hoping they will show pictures of the land, the adjoining land, at Allred's and Drummond's and Bluford's and all these people, and take a pictures of our land so you can see the contrast. Up until this point, about all I've heard about it was from experts. An expert is somebody that's got a relative that's a rancher, and they know everything there is to know. But I tell you what, you get out there and look at the land, see what we've got, and see what's happening. I think it's evident, at least to me, that this whole ranch needs to be under the control of one board, because when we talked about this, the group, Bruce said he didn't have the expertise to control and monitor that grass the way it should be. He said it's almost like a foreign language to him when they start talking about control burns, spraying. But on that Bluestone board, Jackie Badley, she was with the BLM for years as a resource management specialist. Farron Rebord worked for the BLM. We've got a board that has the expertise, I think, to really get into that and bring that up to try to control that Les Padiz out. Actually, I'm going to tell you, look at it this way. Unchecked, that Cerisa Les Padiz is a detrimental to the Osage Prairie, as European diseases were to the original Native Americans. If we don't do something about it, this land ranch is going to continue to deteriorate. Now, there are, they gave 9,000 acres, or at least they gave the use of 9,000 acres in the southern part to the Bluestem Board. But these buffalo pens and chutes are up in the northern part. The chute that Joe was talking about, it cost $20,000. But the pins are welded steel. That alone, with automatic gates and things, they cost well over $100,000. They bid on that. I mean, Jim Perry bid on it. He didn't get it, but even that cost him $100,000, just the labor. So I don't know what that, you know, what the kind of investment that is. And there's also, throughout the ranch, there are working pens that were on ranches that they acquired, and they're all in disrepair. But the board says they think they can take parts of each one of those working pens, put them together somewhere, and have one really good pen to work cattle in different locations on the property. There's one house that's occupied by a young man who, I was told today that he's, one of his jobs is to look after Mark Freeman's cattle. So I don't know what that, I don't know how that arrangement is set up. We've got to find out about that, because he's living in one of our houses. And Bruce said he was supposed to, what did he say he was supposed to do? Supposed to monitor.
He was going to move into John Hurd's house.
Oh, he is going to move in.
Well, that was what they had said.
What about this guy that's living in the Johnson house?
What I recall hearing was that we were going to furnish him free rent so he could just drive through and keep an eye on things.
That's what I thought.
I believe
but
it.
I heard today he was watching Mark Freeman's cattle.
I was told that the day we were out there that was Mr. Right? Freeman's.
So I don't know what you know about that. That's, but anyway, it's it is a really big ranch, and if you go out there and look at it, it's overwhelming. But how they're going to monitor? I would say this: if you wanted to develop a plan to destroy the ranch, take small areas and lease them out to different individuals who are taking that land just for their own self-interest. Bust it up so nobody can coordinate the burns and the spraying and all that stuff. And that's a good way to destroy the ranch. But it looks like that's the way we're going. So I think Congress needs to be aware of more. And I'm gonna write a written report and give you a lot more detail. But it was well worth the trip. And there was only three of us got to go. But members of the committee, like Dr. Shaw and John Maker, they had previous commitments, and Angela was sick. And I don't know what happened to everybody else, but if we ever, you if we ever do it again, I encourage you to go and look at it so you at least have a sense of what they're talking about when they come for appropriations and what a plan needs to be developed. Now, they do, the Boosting Board did file a business plan, and they would like to have control of the whole ranch, and I think they should have. That's my opinion after going up there and see it. That's what I argue.
Thank you, Congressman. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
One quick thing to kind of springboard off what Congressman Tillman talked about, those working pens that we stopped by. Mr. Perrier and Mr. Murphy were there with us, and they kind of showed us how those working pens work. They're the big buffalo pens that also Cuggy referred to. But while we were there looking at them, Mr. Murphy went to Las Vegas as the representative for the board for the Intertribal Buffalo Council. And he said it was a very good meeting, and that they had promised us some free head of buffalo, but their roundup this year ended up being a bust. I don't think they got more than 67 head of buffalo to come in from the places that they were trying to gather buffalo. But he also made an in relationship with the Rosebud, the Sioux up on Rosebud Reservation, and they were going to do a roundup. And I believe at the time we were out there, he was in contact with them by phone, and they had, I think, about 67 head gathered up, but they wanted more, and they promised to give us some of their surplus buffalo. So what Mr. Murphy told me is that he talked to the chief to see if when we did get these free buffalo, if there would be a place to take them, to get them acclimated to our range land here in the Osage, and the chief was agreeable to that. So I haven't talked to Mr. Murphy since then to find out what the total number was. I believe that all we'll have to pay, or all that that board will have to pay, will be the shipping down here to get the buffalo down here. So that was exciting to me. I hope that we can use that area around the pens to bring them in, make sure they can do what they need to do. So I thought that was pretty exciting.
Thank you, Congress.
Just to continue with that, the Lewiston board hired a temporary employee named Mike Alexander, who's worked for like 30 years with the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve up here, the buffalo. And he lives right next door to these buffalo working pens. That's where he's staying. So they're hopeful, and I am too, I guess all of us are, that the chief will give them some of that area around those pens so they can bring buffalo in. The guy lives right there. But I don't know, right now they've got this land on the southern part far from the buffalo pens.
Thank you. That's actually interesting, because when they talked about, I was there when they had made their motion and voted to enter in to apply for the Intertribal Buffalo Council. And so I guess I thought that was like, just, it sounded good. They were excited about it, so I was excited, but I didn't understand that, I guess, it's throughout whatever tribes available. So that's really good to hear that, because the one doesn't, you know, it didn't happen, that they have the ability within that council, intertribal council, to move on
network
mm-hmm. into other tribes. So that's that's pretty neat. And as far as the, that is one thing when we invited these individuals to come and speak to us when we were moving into to purchasing the ranch, or actually after we had, but we came to speak to them, I thought it was really interesting, and I agree with you, Congressman Supernall, that Jackie Badley did a great presentation. I mean, you know, we say you learn new things every day, and I learned a lot that day, and I'm just like Congressman Tillman, you said, I don't know anything about grass other than that it grows, you know, and so, but it was crazy to learn all the different types. She knew all these different things that's among us that I had no clue about. So, and talking about how the burn culture was so vital and the gentleman from the Tallgrass Prairie who came and presented to us as well talked about that's how they've been able to preserve the prairie is the burn culture and how important that is. So I think that's cool. Thank you for that report, Congressman Superno.
I do want to add this, that the Bluestem Board hired this Mike Alexander for 3 months, I believe, temporary employee. He's been working out there for over a year, and he's well familiar with the land. But they can't project any further into the future than that, because everything is just a gentleman's agreement. It's just vague. They don't know how long they've got the land. They're going to buy 400 cattle and move them in there. And I guess their theory is it's going to be hard to move them off, you know, next week if they says about change my mind. But they need to, these people need some security for the future to know what they can do, because they, all they want to do is, and they've repeated over and over, they don't want to keep coming back to Congress for money. They think they can make that branch self-sustaining. One other thing that, if you get a sense of how large it is, it would take a smart man at least a month to even get familiar with the territory. It's so big. Probably take me years. But it's not something that you put a man on and he knows the pastures and the grass and things like that. It's going to take a lot of time. We need to get started quick.
Thank you, Congresswoman Edwards.
Okay, so based on what you saw and heard, if I understand what I'm hearing from everyone, is that Chief Standing Bear alone is currently controlling every aspect of use of the Bluestem Ranch. Does anybody have any information that
I don't see how they can call it a lease. What I'm hearing is a trespass permit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's controlling the use of the ranch.
I think totally. I don't think Bruce, I think Bruce is just following directions.
And the ranch is not, in its entirety, is not being leased or otherwise assigned to the Bluestem Ranch Board for management, as was contemplated by everybody in this room for months prior to April of this year.
No, the Bluestem Ranch Board has no management capabilities out at the ranch whatsoever. And apparently from what Assistant Chief said, it's because they don't have any agreement to utilize the acreage. That's why they aren't utilizing it. Is that did I understand you correctly, Assistant Chief, in saying that? Is because there wasn't a land agreement with them to install them to do that? Because that's to me where the breakdown is, because I think we all in this room were under the impression that one board was going to manage this acreage for the nation when we decided to go into the endeavor of purchasing this 43,000 acres on behalf of the nation, that was presented to us that one body would manage that ranch land for us. And what I just heard you say a little bit ago is, well, no, they're not doing that because they don't have a land agreement with us. Is that correct? Is what I heard correct?
Well, I'd prefer not to extend this conversation any farther than we need to. And this might be the statement not to make if that's what you're going to do. But my understanding, I'll just speak for myself,
okay,
not for the administration. Constitution requires us to do that.
I understand.
So I'm speaking for myself.
Thank you.
There were a lot of plans made early on. But what I would suggest Congress do is go look at the laws you've passed. They may not be executed yet, but go look at the laws you've passed.
You're specifically referring to the Hearth Act?
As part of it, yes.
And what other law would you have us look at beside the Hearth Act? Because
I'll leave that up to you.
Well, that doesn't really help us.
But I'm thinking specifically of the Hearth Act.
Specifically the Hearth Act, which we have decided to push through. When I did make the statement about, when we were in debate about that, that the Hearth Act is very complicated now in light of the 43,000 acres.
And let's, I think I kind of got let's talk about complication for just a second, because I don't mind addressing that.
Right.
I've made this point several times over where I work. I don't think we could have made this any more complicated in terms of timing. It's a complex issue, and there are no simple answers. Within just a few month period, the Osage Nation's taking over environmental here for the BIA, which means we're responsible for the environmental out there. As of November 1st, we don't have jurisdiction out there with our law enforcement yet, but we have control of property in fee simple. So Oklahoma State laws still apply out there for hunting and fishing until the Osage Nation Congress passes laws that address hunting and fishing. And I know that's in the works. Okay. The trust application is in process. Everybody here, I believe, wants this land to be put into trust. So, if we can all agree that we want the land put into trust, that takes a little bit of time. That tumbler is going to drop at some point in this process. Now, I will not for one second pretend to know what's involved in getting land into trust. I know a little bit. I'm not sure anybody here in the room understands every single aspect of it. It's a very complicated process.
I do.
But you cannot, my understanding is, and I'm happy to be corrected on this, my understanding is that if a lease exists out there on that process, it can't go into trust. That's my understanding.
It was under lease when you guys filled out the trust application and submitted it.
But all of those leases ended prior to November 1.
That's just our date that we took over. It wasn't the date of our trust application. We made that long before, while it was under lease.
Can I continue?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, if any leases are executed out there, my understanding is that that property can't go into trust. This is not, I'm not dismissing the Congress's concerns. I'm just telling you this is a little more complicated than some people may be thinking it is. When they say, why isn't somebody doing this? Why is this agreement? Why is it a trespass damage? Those kinds of questions are all tied up in this. So, we have a Hearth Act that I hope Congress fixes according to the recommendations from the Department of the Interior and passes, because that Hearth Act was done from a model. And I can't debate, I can't join in the discussion, but if I could have, I would have said that I looked at the red line version. Congress has been in possession of it for a long time. There's two very minor changes in that that require approval. And once that happens, that is very beneficial to our sovereignty, and it can be beneficial to us in terms of leasing that land out there to whomever. We can have another conversation about who it gets leased to. But I think that Hearth Act is essential in its approved fashion. We paid a fair amount of money to a consultant to make sure it came back with two little fixes on it and not just totally redlined out. Now, if Congress chooses to go through there and make a bunch more changes and send it back, we're not going to have a Hearth Act. We're not going to have a Hearth Act for the Oakley property. We're not going to have a Hearth Act for the ranch. We're not going to have a Hearth Act for any of these properties that we own that we want to put in trust. So my only cautionary statement is that this is fairly complex, and it's because we've got three or four major changes that all interact and they all affect each other, all occurring within the span of a few months. And I would encourage the Congress, if they have questions about whys and wherefores, just direct their questions to the chief in writing. I'm happy to answer questions if I can. I'm certainly not here to run from them. I'm telling you what I know.
Thank you. I agree with that as well. So as I mentioned before, if we do, I understand this is going to create additional questions, but maybe if we could perhaps put them in writing and share, send them to the executive branch, but also share them with the entire body so that we can all keep up. And I just want to caution, I'll take a couple more comments, but I would like to try to wrap this up. We do have an appropriations meeting at 1 o'clock, so Congressman Walker.
I think a lot of the discussion we can have when we have committee meeting about the HEARTH Act. So I would just say that I know enough about the trust application process to know that encumbrances on land that are going through the trust application process, that creates a stumbling block. Not going to say that it's a deal killer, but it is a stumbling block.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I think my original question that led down that road is, why isn't this ranch board managing the 43,000 acres as was presented to us when we were making the decision to do the land purchase? And I think what I heard the assistant chief say earlier is because it's a matter that they don't have a lease for the 43,000 acres. And maybe not, but what we see right now is that the executive is letting our Osage property to people other than Osages with the business intent of making money for the Osage Nation, as the Blue Stem Ranch Board is set up to do. So they're finding a way to convey land to others for their own personal interests. I don't understand why we aren't finding a way to convey land to the Blue Stem Ranch Board to make money for our purposes as a nation and for our food sovereignty. And that's a question, I guess, Speaker and the Assistant Chief has said, write down on a paper and ask that question. So I will.
Right, and I'm just simply saying that because we're not, apparently you're not getting the answer right now.
Right.
He has asked to defer to Principal Chief, but he has asked to respond to your statement, Assistant Chief.
I want to say this much more. I've been asked personally on several occasions some questions of the same nature. And here's the best way I know to explain it. We can have a conversation about what we decided, what was discussed, what was presented, etc. But at the end of the day, we need to be paying attention to Osage law, I think. Okay?
It isn't even in effect.
Now, here's the other thing I want to add to that. That board, I'm not making a suggestion. Please don't anybody say I've made some suggestion. That board has the capability to take the money that this Congress has given it and go out and lease property anywhere and make it and raise cattle. And they have the ability to lease property here on the ranch as well. Now, I think we need to understand that the ranch is an entity that belongs to the Osage Nation, and if you follow the tenets of the HEARTH Act, that process requires RFPs. I can tell you that RFPs have been advertised for publicly and are in hand. Okay? And there's also a proposal from Blue Stem LLC in that group. So they have the ability to go anywhere and raise cattle, and there's an RFP process built into the HEARTH Act that's being followed. So I'm just going to stop there. And like you said, Madam Speaker, it's probably going to be best if you want good answers, don't hold the pop quiz. Write it out and send it in.
Thank you, Assistant Chief. I think one thing that we're just trying to make the point is I think the Congress overall is just really confused as to why we aren't just proceeding with the way we had discussed when we entered into this in the first place. And again, like we've discussed, I think maybe only the chief has the answer to that question. So we will have to ask, and I can certainly try to get with him, and having heard many of the comments made from the report, we're going to have to go there. But I repeat, just like we all have for months now, when we entered into purchasing this ranch, the chief seated these members of this board, and they were the five members that we agreed that were the experts, going to be the ranch experts for Osage Nation and to manage the entire ranch. So, one more comment from Congressman Supernall, then I'll let you close up. Congresswoman Everett, please keep it brief so that everyone can have a 30-minute lunch before our 1 o'clock meeting. Congressman Supernall?
Well, the Hearth Act, I think we're going to have to take a real hard look at that for the unintended consequences. But the assistant chief saying, we may need to take another look at the laws that we have and pass laws that will simplify things. But although in the beginning, we unanimously passed Joe Tillman's resolution that essentially said to the chief, as we said as representatives of the nation, we want you to do what you said you'd do. That's the consensus of opinion of the entire Congress. And although there are things being brought up now to slow or delay things or even stop things, the one thing I noticed as we toured that ranch is every fence had a gate. There's a way around every one of these obstacles. So I think that we should look for ways to do it and not ways to stop it. Cheers.
Congressman Edwards.
Well, I just want to say that I'm disappointed that this is where we are on November 28th, having celebrated taking over 43,000 acres, buying 43,000 acres for the benefit of the Osage people. We don't have a plan. We don't have our priorities in order. We've appropriated a lot of funding to a ranch board that we understood was going to put some of these things that you're talking about into place. They have a plan we passed. We passed a resolution saying, let's go forward. And now we're told, well, there's some legal impediments. Well, I'd like to know how these legal impediments sprung up and weren't there in January when we talked about this. So when we close, I'm going to ask that we see what these legal impediments are and see the advice that this nation's being given about these impediments, because we're losing money every day. We're apparently not being good stewards of the land as we indicated we would be. We're not going forward with any of the plans that we had back in January, and this just points to our unstable government right now, and I'm concerned. So I move to go out of the committee of the whole.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, motions and notices, Congresswoman Edwards.
I move the speaker to request a report from the principal chief of the Osage Nation identifying, one, the number and ownership of cattle on the Bluestem Ranch and under what authority, two, any written or oral agreement with any person who currently has permission to have physical presence on the Bluestem Ranch and for what purpose, three, a detailed ledger of any income received on account of the Bluestem Ranch and any improvements thereon since April 1st, 2016, four, any information regarding how to obtain, quote, tags, close quote, to allow passage presence on the ranch, five, the name of any occupants on the ranch and any written or oral agreements to allow such occupation, six, the specific reason you believe the Hearth Act prohibits assignment of management responsibilities to the Blue Stem Ranch Board, if in fact you do. 7, any legal opinion regarding any aspect of leasing, selling, allowing trespass, assigning, or other vehicle for Blue Stem Ranch land use.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion, Congressman Walker.
Could you read 5 again?
The name of any occupants on the ranch and any written or oral agreements to allow such occupation.
I would move to amend that portion to include at the end of the sentence that have been authorized by the Osage Nation. That could include oil leases and gas. There's all kinds of other.
I'll second that amendment.
Okay. I upped it. I have no objection.
May I ask that, because it's kind of in the middle, may I ask that you withdraw your amendment? Well, it hasn't been seconded, but that you just restate and include the items that you just mentioned, please.
Item number 5, name of any occupants on the ranch and any written or oral agreements with the Osage Nation that allow such occupation.
Okay. Congresswoman Edwards.
So the purpose of this is to help assist us in having documentation at any of the meetings that we need to have. So I would include, when are the meetings where this is going to be part of the discussion?
As soon as possible.
Our first commerce meeting is tomorrow. I mean, it's on session.
Okay, so by November 30th, 2016.
Listen, the agenda's wide open. Put everything on.
Okay. Does everybody drop the motion? All right. All those in favor, say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, motion passes. Any more motions and notices? Congresswoman Buffalohead?
The Government Ops Committee for today is canceled.
Thank you.
It's getting canceled.
Canceled. Congressman Shaw.
Just formally going to announce and confirm what you've already said. Appropriations at 1 to 3.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Hamilton.
Congressional Affairs is meeting tomorrow morning from 8:30 to 10. We do have executive session on the agenda tomorrow. Our attorney, Mr. Lyons, will be present.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Walker.
Health and Social Services is scheduled to meet today from 3 to 4. And the only thing that I plan to include on the agenda is the one bill that was assigned, and that's Congressman Shaw's ONCA 1711, the Health Division Supplemental.
Okay.
07. I'm sorry, I've misstated. 1707.
Okay. Anything else? Chair would entertain a motion. To adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Until? Can you give a time?
10:00 tomorrow morning.
Motion's made in second.
Second.
All those in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. We're adjourned.
Process is here.
You're
I'm not. I had to throw it through.